सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. It's a very auspicious Sri Ramanami day. Let us think of Rama 1 minute, then before we get into our class. Om. Om Namo Bhagavate. Om Namo Bhagavate. Sri Sita Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Hanumat Sameta Sri Ramachandra Parabrahmane. ॐ रामाय रामभद्राय रामचन्द्राय वेधसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. ॐ अञ्जनानन्दनं वीरं जानकीशोकनाशनं कपीशमक्षहन्तारं वन्दे लङ्काभयङ्करं बुद्धिर्बलं यशोधैर्यं निर्भयत्वमरोगता अजाड्यं वाक्पटुत्वञ्च हनुमत्स्मरणाद् भवेत्. असाध्यसाधकस्वामिन् असाध्यं तव किं वद. रामदूतदया सिन्धो मत्कार्यं साधय प्रभो. ॐ नमो भगवते हनुमते आञ्जनेयाय. ॐ राम 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 Om Shri Ramayana. Just as the word Krishnaha means all attractive happiness, Ramaha means the truth which revels in itself, the truth in which everything else revels. That is Rama. So unto that Lord, the one in whom everything revels, the one who revels in oneself, unto that Lord, our salutations. So now we are seeing this Sambandha Bhashyam of Taittiriya Upanishad. Generally, all acharyas accept the importance of knowledge and action, jnanam and karma, equally, but they differ in their views. When the question of the role of karma and role of jnanam comes, and here first Shankara Bhagavatpada wants to establish this fact: knowledge is the only means of attaining moksha. Why? Because the freedom, the bondage from which we want freedom itself is caused by ignorance. So ignorance being the root cause of samsaraha, samsara bandha, jnanam is the only means of resolving the ignorance, thereby freeing oneself from bondage of samsaraha. But Veda Shastram consists of these Upanishads, which form the Jnana Kandaha, is a small portion of the Veda. But the huge portion of Veda Shastram happens to contain all about rituals, meditations, other disciplines, including the attitudes we should have, all karma related subject matter forms the biggest portion of the Veda. And the entire Veda is said to be the means of knowledge of moksha, pramana granthaha. Therefore, people also give, specifically they give importance for karma as a means of the attainment of moksha. And we saw, now we are seeing, in this Sambandha Bhashyam, we are going to see the same Sambandha Bhashyam with many other arguments later on when we complete this first chapter. But now, in the very introductory, Shankar Bhagavatpada presents only the views of two groups of Mimamsakas. And we saw the view of the Mimamsaka of the first group. Both the Mimamsakas of both the groups have the same view that karma is enough for the attainment of moksha. Jnanam is not required. In this view, they both same. They both are the same. They both have the same views. Karma is enough for moksha. Jnanam is not required for moksha. But still, they also differ in their concept of moksha. What is required for moksha, attainment of moksha, there they are of the same view. Karma is the means of attaining moksha. There, with reference to the means of attaining moksha, they are of the same view. They think karma is enough as a means for attaining moksha. But what is moksha? There, in the concept of moksha, they differ. That's why there are two groups of Mimamsakas. And the first group of Mimamsakaha, we saw, he just forgets about the Sanchitam Karma. He has a karma plan. He's holding on to the Eka Bhavika Vadaha, which means exhausting all one's Punya Papams in one life itself. Exhausting all the Punya Papams, all Punya Papams in one life itself, and without having any Papam and Punyam, having exhausted the Parabdha Karma Phalam in this life itself, then there will not be any karma in one's account. So one does not need to be born assuming a body. Then there's no need for one to be born again assuming the body. Because of the absence of Punya Papas, one can abide in oneself. So he believes abidance in oneself is the moksha. What is moksha according to the Purvivamsaka of group 1? Abidance in self is moksha. And the expression Shankaracharya uses is beautiful expression, Swa-Atmani Avasthanam Mokshaha. Swa-Atmani Avasthanam Mokshaha. Abidance in one's own self is Mokshaha, which Shankara Bhagavatpada also says the same thing. Abidance in one's own self is Mokshaha. Abidance in one's own self means remaining one's own self, being one's own self. Being one's own self means not having any identity with the body, mind, sense complex. Without any identity with the body, mind, sense complex, remaining one's own self in the vekkahaj of one's own self is called abidance in oneself, which is moksha, which is said to be Swatmani Avasthanam. And this Purimamsaka of the first group also says the same thing, Swatmani Avasthanam Moksha. Abidance in oneself is moksha. But how can he attain this? How can he abide in one's own self? For which not having a body, not being born again, thereby not having any identity with the body, mind, sense complex, is abundance in oneself. So in order not to assume another body, not to be born again, thereby to without an identity to abide in one's own self, one should be free from all punya papams. Why? The birth of a body, assumption of a body, assuming another body, being born again, it not decided by us. It is not our choice. So assuming a body, being born again, is determined by our prarabdha karma phalam. So as long as prarabdha karma phalani are there in our account, we will be born again and again choicelessly. Everything is determined by prarabdha karma phalam, the birth of date, birth of place, parentage, the atmosphere, even the cultural background, etc. Everything is absolutely determined by in keeping with what part of the karma phalam is, how one can exhaust one's karma phalam. Accordingly, one's birth is determined by part of the karma phalam. So, not being born again is not our choice. So, being born again is also not our choice. Being born again is inevitable. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mrutasya Janma Dhruvam. Birth is definite for the one who is dead. Which means death, rebirth is, being born again is unavoidable, inevitable. And once you are born, death is also inevitable, unavoidable. And once you are born, until death, in between going through the life of paths of opposites also is unavoidable, inevitable. And this is what is said to be samsaraha. Being bound by the cycle of births and deaths. Now this parabdha karma will be there. So birth is determined by parabdha karma phalam. And prarabdha karma phalam is nothing but a portion of sanchita karma which is ready for fructification on is parabdha karma phalam. Which means as long as sanchita karmani are there in our account, so long will there be parabdha karma phalam. As long as parabdha karma phalam is there, one has to be born again and again to exhaust the parabdha karma phalam. And while exhausting the parabdha karma phalam, helplessly we will be again accumulating new punya papams, which will be coming as agami karma phalam. And agami will be always joining sanchitam. Therefore, sanchitam will be endlessly, never-ending bundle of, never-ending, ever-remaining bundle of unexhausted results of actions performed in the previous lives. It will always be bundle. So this Purva Mimamsaka of number group, first group, thinks, yes, not being born again, thereby not having any identity with the body, mind, sense complex, is abundance in oneself, which is mokshaha, that is accomplishable through karma, and for which he has his own karma plan. And to understand his karma plan, we should know how many types of karmani are there. We say that three types of karmani: nitya naimittika karmani, daily ordained duties, and occasionally ordained duties, but which should be without fail, regularly performed. And nitya naimittika karmani, performing those nitya naimittika karmani, will prevent one from accumulating pratyavaya papam. There's no choice. Should I do or should I not do? There's no choice about performing nitya naimittika karmani. They must be performed choicelessly. definitely, certainly they must be performed. So that one can avoid pratyavaya papam. So not accumulating papam in terms of pratyavaya doshaha is possible only by carefully, consciously, thoughtfully doing all one's prescribed, enjoined duties which are to be performed daily and which are to be performed occasionally in terms of nitya namittika karmani. Apart from that, we have pratishuddha karmani, the prohibited actions. Shastram strictly says that these should not be done at all. Like kalunjamma bunjita, may you not eat meat. Suramna pibet, may not drink alcohol. Satyam vada, no, this, here it comes. Prohibited action means may you not do these things. You know, so strictly prohibited actions. There also, there's no choice about doing them or not doing them. There's no choice. They should not be performed strictly. And so avoidance or non-performance of this pratishiddha karmani, otherwise called nishiddha karmani, also will help us avoid accumulating papam. So papam can be avoided by two things. How? By performing nityanamittika karmani, papam can be avoided. By not performing, by avoiding carefully pratishiddha karmani also, we can avoid papam. This is how one can free oneself from papams. When we are born in this world, living your life, exhausting your paradha karma phalam, paradha karmani, karma phalani, you are living this life. And while living this life, one must be careful how one must not do anything which is prohibited, and one should not forget to do anything which comes under the category of nityanamittika karmani. Thereby, papam can be completely avoided in this present life. In present life, we can carefully avoid accumulating papam. And there's a third type of karmani known as kamya karmani. And this kamya karmani actually are actions performed for the fulfillment of desires. In fact, desire prompted, desire impelled, and desire based activities. It will include rituals as well as other mundane activities also. There's no fourth type of karma. Shastram is so clear, so beautiful, very thorough. And he says, Shastram says, Karmakanda himself says, Karmamimamsaka, one who analyzes, one who has the analytical knowledge, one who has clear knowledge of the karmas. And he says, performance of Kamya Karmani will help one fulfill one's desires. At the same time, when they are performed in conformity with dharma, will also produce punyam. So punyam will be there. And he says, if we strictly avoid the kamya karmani also, we can avoid accumulation of papam also. Sorry, punyam also. By strictly avoiding the performance of kamya karmani, we can prevent the accumulation of punyam. We can prevent accumulating papam by avoiding pratishiddha karmani. We can prevent accumulating papam by performing nityamittika karmani. In this way, in this present life, when we are living this life exhausting the paradha karma palani, we can completely, totally avoid accumulating any punyam and papam. So that by the time when this paradha comes to an end, at the time of death, there will not be any punyam or papam in our account. Because there's no punyam and papam in our account, in the present life, all the Paradha Karmani also become exhausted in the present life. There will not be any Agami Punya Papam. So that when a person dies, and he need not be born again because there is no Punya Papam on his account. Therefore, one can remain, one can abide in oneself, one can, this is called attainment of moksha. But what is the problem he has? He completely forgot about Sanchitam Karma. He only says how Paradha Karma Palam can be exhausted in this life. And how we can avoid the future Punya Papam, he says. But he does not touch the Sanchita Karma Palani at all. And here, Shankara Bhagavatpada refutes his view. How does he refute? First, he says, it's appropriate to say we can avoid Pratyavaya Dosha by performing Nityamittika Karmani. Accumulation Papam can be definitely avoided. Similarly, accumulation of papam by avoiding not performing, not doing anything prohibited also is possible. In this life, if a person consciously lives his life very, very consciously, effortfully, by Bhagavan's grace, definitely one can try to avoid accumulating papam. But he says, this performance of Kamya Karmani cannot be avoided at all. Which Karmakan, which Purvamsaka thinks he can avoid the performance of Kamya Karmani. But according to Shastram, Kamya Karmani cannot be avoided at all. They can be managed to some extent, but they cannot be totally avoided. Why? Because Kamya Karmani, the desire-based actions are prompted, impelled by desires, and we do not have any say over our desires. Why? Because desires themselves are caused by sense of incompleteness. And the sense of incompleteness, as long it is there, desires will be there, so long will there be desire-based actions. And desire-based actions will definitely produce punyam. And even this desire-based action, sometimes if you go against dharma, again they'll produce papam also. Even if you avoid the papam, punyam cannot be avoided at all. Punyam will be definitely there. Because desires are prompting the actions. We do not have any say over our behavior. Completely, the physical body, physical activities are expressions of our desires. And the desires are actually caused by sense of incompleteness centered on I. And a sense of incompleteness is caused by erroneous self, the superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma, adhyaropaha. And adhyaropaha is because of erroneous self-perception, because we mistake the anatma for the atma, and anatma is mistaken for the atma. This error, adhyasaha, is because of self-ignorance, because of Atma Jnanam. Why do you mistake Anatma for the Atma? Because we do not know what Atma is. Even though Atma is, we know we are, there is knowledge of the existence of the Atma in terms of I am. So there is knowledge of the existence of the Atma, but there is no knowledge of what exactly Atma is. This is called partial. Self-ignorance, not knowing what I am, not knowing what Atma is called self-ignorance. It is a self-ignorance, Atma Jnanam, which results in Atma Dhyasaha, Anatma Dhyasaha, which means Anatma is taken to be the Atma. It is this ignorance which is the root cause of the desire, which prompts the actions. Therefore, desire-based actions cannot be avoided totally as long as ignorance is. Therefore, accumulation of punyam, performing desire-based actions also cannot be avoided. Therefore, definitely in every time we are born, we are exhausting the present life, exhaustion is part of the karapalam in the present life. Totally exhausting, totally not performing any actions is not possible. Desire-based actions cannot be avoided at all. Maximum we can try to avoid the papam, but punyam cannot be avoided at all. There again, if desires are very, very aggressive, very powerful, and the powerful desires may even make us go against dharma, that we will be accumulating helplessly papam also. So Shankaracharya says, first of all, avoiding kamya karmas in this present life is impossible. The accumulation of punyam in this life is impossible. And this punyam will be there. This punyam is going to be agami punyam. The punyam accumulated by performing kamya karmani in this present life while exhausting part of the karma palam is going to become agami punyam. This is one answer number one. The second answer he gives, second refutation he gives is Sanchita karma palani are there. All Sanchita Karma Palani cannot be exhausted at all in one lifetime. Because Sanchita Karmani are said to be Anarabdha Karma Palani. Anarabdha Karma Palani means the results of past actions which are not yet ready for fructification, which have yet to become ready for fructification, are said to be anarabdha karma palani, sanchita karma palani. So we cannot rush to complete them. They'll take their own time to come. And the second thing, and even if a person says, the present punya, the punyam a person earns in the present life also will not be able to neutralize the past papams. We always think, if I perform the punya karma in this life, will it, please understand, very important lesson. If I live a clean, righteous life in this janma, if I do consciously only righteous actions, if I live a clean, highly righteous, ethical life in this life, so then I earn punyam. And will this present punyam, punyam earned by righteous activities in this present life, worship, etc., will it neutralize my sanchita punya papams? The question is asked. Definitely not. If the question is asked, Shastram says no. Whatever punyam you earn in this present life is going to become agami punyam, future punyam. Whatever papa karma you do now, the papam is going to be agami papa. So what you're exhausting now is actually, while all the actions you are performing now are instrumental for accumulating future punya papani, and as a result of present actions, what you're exhausting now in this life are actually the old punya papani, which is parandha karma palani. The portion of Sanchitam which is ready for fructification alone is exhausted as Parabdha in this present life. So, the present Punyam, however great life your life is in this present, this cannot undo the past Punya Papams. They will have their own time to fructify, and they will come one day in life, they have to be exhausted. So, also, Sanchita Karma Palani cannot be exhausted in one life. Therefore, it is not easy for one to avoid the rebirth, not assuming another body. Abundance in self is not easy, which means because karma will be there in one's account. And one more thing, Purimamsaka of first group, he also again comes and tells, if the Nitya Nimittika Karmani are performed carefully in this life, and then they will, of course, they can avoid the Pratyavaya Papam. They will produce Punyam, and that Punyam, the Punyam earned as a result of performing Nitya Nimittika Karmani, can eliminate my Papam Sanchita Karma and neutralize my Sanchita Karma. So that I don't need to worry about Sanchita Karma. So then I can attain moksha. I can avoid the body next life. Shankaracharya says, no, the nitya naimittika karmani performed. Nitya naimittika karmani performed will produce punyam, but that punyam cannot neutralize the old punya papams. Even if we, because as you are saying, even though I do not agree, even if you are saying, if I accept it for the sake of argument, if you accept it also, the punyam you earn by performing nitya naimittika karmani can only neutralize the punyam of the past. It cannot undo the punyam of the past. The papam of the past. The present punyam can neutralize the past papam, if at all you say. Definitely it cannot remove the punyam of the past. Because punyam and punyam are not opposed to each other. Punyam and punyam are not opposed to each other. Anyway, if at all you say. But first itself he made very clear. Any punyam earned in present life by performing nitya naimittika karmani. See, performing nitya naimittika karmani means living a life of karma yoga, living following panchamaha yajnas strictly. Definitely that will help one earn punyam. But that punyam definitely will going to be, it will help you avoid the papam for the future. We earn punyam in this life, which means you have future punyam. You don't have future papam. That's all. It cannot neutralize the punyam papam of the sanchita karma phalam, sanchitam of the past. It cannot neutralize sanchita punyam or papam earned in the past, which is still in the account. Therefore, accomplishment of moksha through karma is not possible at all. Second thing, karma itself is product of ignorance, and karma being the product of ignorance cannot remove the ignorance. Therefore, as long as ignorance is, so long will there be sense of incompleteness, so long will there be desires, so long will there be desire prompted actions, so long will there be punya papa in one's account. Therefore, assuming a body, being born again is absolutely unavoidable. It's impossible. It cannot be avoided at all. Moksha is impossible. And the second thing he says, it is the sense of incompleteness centered on I itself is a notion, caused a problem. And therefore, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. are notions. And as long as these notions are there, there will be desires and actions. And this notion itself has to be resolved, for which jnanam is the only solution. Only in the wake of the knowledge of one's own self being identical with Brahman, when a person understands one's surupam being actionlessness, in the wake of knowledge of one's own essential nature being actionlessness, one can resolve one's wrong notions in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. Thereby, when a person becomes free from doership and enjoyership, without exhausting any punya papam or the sanchittam or the agami, a person can become absolutely free from all hanchitta agami punya papani. Therefore, jnanam is the only way of becoming free from bondage of samsara. This is how he answers the first Purvimamsaka's doubts. Finished. I summarized the whole thing. Now, we move on to second Purvimamsaka. The second Purvimamsaka also says the same thing. Karma is the only means of attainment of moksha. But for him, abidance in oneself or not being born again is not moksha. For her, somehow, escape from this world, go to heaven. Once you go to heaven, Swargaha itself is a meaning of the word unsurpassable, incomparable happiness. So once you go to heaven, there's only happiness. Heavenly life is a happy life. Going to heaven and living there is the attainment of moksha for him. And for to go to heaven, first he gives the reason, okay, we perform specific rituals, earn punyam, and with that punyam, one can go to heaven, one can have moksha. Therefore, what is the need for us to have jnanam? Going to heaven needs only punyam, which is moksha for me. And for that, I need only punyam. And for that punyam, I do not need atma jnanam. What I need is only performance of rituals. And there Shankaracharya says, no. Why it is not? You are wrong. Swargaha, you mistake the swargaha for mokshaha. Swargaha, in fact, mokshaha is not swargaha. Mokshaha is not swargaha. Mokshaha is not heaven. Why? Because mokshaha is eternal, whereas heaven, swargaha is time-bound, non-eternal, time-bound. Eternal means it does not have a beginning, it should not have an end, it should not undergo any changes also. And mokshaha is another word for happiness, fullness, anandaha. And fullness is the essential nature of one's own self, which is nature of the reality, which is not even attained. Moksha is not something to be attained, but something to be discovered. Whereas heaven is not to be discovered, something to be attained. And heaven is attained only after earning the punyam by performing the ritual, heaven is attained. Therefore, heaven has a beginning. Anything which has a beginning cannot be said to be eternal, because eternal does not have a beginning. Moksha does not have a beginning, therefore eternal. Moksha doesn't have an end, therefore it is eternal. Whereas moksha, swargaha, has a beginning. It's attained only after the attainment of punyam. Therefore, having it has a beginning, therefore it is not eternal. Second thing, it cannot be permanent also. It will definitely come to an end. Swargaha is time-bound. Time-bound swargaha should not be mistaken for eternal, timeless happiness, mokshaha. The first answer. Mokshasya nityatvat. Swargasya anityatvat. Swargaha mokshaha na swargaha. This is answer. Then, and this Karmakandis, Purimamsaka of second group person, still comes changing his proposition, saying, okay, merely perform, when I earn punyam by performing mere karma, then that punyam will take me to heaven. That heaven, you can say, it has a beginning, it will have an end also. But this, I can accumulate more punyam, very special punyam, by combining the practice of meditation along with the ritual, performance of rituals. So, upasana karma samuchaya dwara, by synthesizing karma and the practice of meditation, I can earn very special punyam. And with that punyam, if I go to heaven, that heaven will have a beginning, but still that will last forever. It will be eternal. Why? Because even though generally anything eternal should not have a beginning, should not have an end, anything which doesn't have a beginning, anything which has a beginning has an end. That is a general rule. But there are certain cases which certain entities which do have a beginning, but they do not have an end. But which some certain cases which do have a beginning, they do not have an end. So for which, like that, my moksha also has a beginning, in terms of my swargaha has a beginning, but it will be eternal. It will not come to an end. For which he uses the example of the concept of non-existence discussed in Tarkashastram. In Tarkashastram, the four types of non-existence, four kinds of non-existence is discussed as pragabhavaha, pradvamsabhavaha, anyonyabhavaha, atyantabhavaha. Pragabhavaha means prior non-existence. It's like before the pot is made, there's non-existence of the pot. When the pot is made, when the pot comes into existence, or the physical body is the birth of the child's baby's body, Until the birth, the body is non-existent. But after the birth, it becomes existent. Therefore, the prior non-existence has no beginning. If you ask, when did the prior non-existence begin? There's no answer. Which means prior non-existence has no beginning, but it has an end. But similarly, there's the pradyumsa bhavaha, which is absence or non-existence after the fall of the body or the destruction of the pot. Any given object, when it is made, before it is made, there's a praga bhavaha. After it is used for some time, it becomes old, it is destroyed. Then after the destruction of the pot or the fall of the body, then there's a non-existence begins. And that non-existence continues to be there permanently. Why? Because again, the same body or the same object destroyed will not come back. Therefore, the prior, the posterior non-existence has a beginning, but it has no end. It is eternal. There were some exceptions like these entities which have beginning but do not have an end. Similarly, the swargaha, which I attain also, I can attain by special punyam, which I earn through the performance of ritual along with the practice of meditation also, will have a beginning. The swarga will have a beginning, but it will not come to an end. It will be eternal. Like pradhvamsa bhavavat, pradhvamsa abhavavat, moksha, my moksha is what? Heaven, which will be, which has a beginning, which will be eternal. So he concludes there. And, but what happens? Shankara Bhagavatpada gives an answer. He says, first answer he gives. Understand, abhavaha is opposed to bhavaha. Bhavaha means existence. Abhavaha means non-existence. And the non-existence means that which does not exist. And mokshaha is actually bhavarupaha. Mokshasya bhavarupatvat. Mokshaha is fullness, anandaha, obtaining as one's own essential nature, obtaining as the nature of reality. Okay, so moksha is something which is existent. Abhavaha is something which does not exist. How can something non-existent be quoted as an example for something existent? This is first question. Therefore, the example itself is wrong. Then, second, he goes further. You are giving this prag, pradvamsa, anyonya, atyanta, etc. Mutual non-existence, absolute non-existence, prior non-existence, posterior non-existence. You are using so many adjectives describing a non-existence. They're all attributes. The descriptive adjectives, attributes can belong only to something which is existent. A non-existent thing cannot have descriptive attributes. You are very cleverly talking about giving examples. How can non-existence have attributes, first of all? An existent thing alone can have attributes. Abhavaha, non-existent thing, cannot have attributes because it doesn't exist. And if at all we use those expressions, the very word non-existence itself is simply used for this purpose of mental transaction. Really speaking, there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. Absolutely. For which you need to understand what is only existence. If what is only existence, there is no such thing called non-existence at all. If this fact is understood, we have thoroughly studied all the Upanishads. We can throw all our books into the sea and we can sit at home. Then you are Jivan Mukta. Okay? Therefore, so there's no, it's not appropriate to say examples are wrong examples. Then further he says, whether you perform ritual and earn punyam, or you also include the practice of meditation and earn more punyam, so you have special punyam by combining meditation and karma ritual, even then, what he says, however, whatever punyam earn, the punyam is gained by as a result of an action, mental and physical oral activities. Second thing, heaven is gained. Heaven is gained, attained, whereas moksha is not attained. There's a big difference. Moksha is discovered, heaven is attained. Big difference. Anything attained which is different from you and will subject to get lost. Whereas moksha is not attained. Moksha is only discovered. Why? Because moksha is yourself. Happiness is your, anandaha is yourself. Your own essential nature, which is the nature of the reality of the whole universe. Therefore, desire for moksha is not desire for gain. Desire for moksha is not desire for gaining. Desire for moksha is desire for knowing. Whereas desire for heaven is desire for attaining. And anything attained is subject to get lost. But here, moksha is not attained, which is discovered, which happens to be yourself. It is not lost. It is already there beginninglessly as yourself. It will be there forever as yourself. Changelessly, it will be there forever. Therefore, moksha is eternal. Ignorance is the cause of bondage. So in the wake of the knowledge, do not, moksha is not attained, it is just claimed as one's own swarupam. Therefore, going to heaven with special punyam also, and that heaven is not, moksha is not going to heaven at all. Is it clear? So both Vimamsakas were answered very clearly by Shankaracharya. Now, so we have to see where we are. I think I have satisfactorily done my summary. See, okay, page 50. I can tell you. Bhava pratyogi hi abhava pratyogi hyabhavaha. Okay, the first line. Bhava pratyogi hyabhavaha. Shankaracharya, see in the page number 52, he made it very clear. Pradhamsabhavaha api arabhyate iti na sambhavati. Come on, your pradhamsabhavaha does not have a beginning. How can a non-existent thing can have a beginning? No beginning. And non-existence, please Let me tell you, please listen. Please, because recorded for the purpose of others listening, so let me tell you. Yes, I'll remind you. Because Bhashya Patam, you should not interrupt at all. Keep on listening, then flow will go for me. Abhavasya Visesha Abhavat Vikalpa Matram Etat, we saw in the page number 52. Okay. What he says, the non-existence doesn't exist. It's only used in our, for mental transaction, for the purpose of transaction, it is simply used. There is no substance for the expression non-existence. Vikalpa matram etat. Vikalpa matram means it's just in your imagination. It's in your, just your thinking. It's really speaking, there's no non-existence at all. Okay. Now I'll start a new lesson today. Page number 53. Which is Bhava Pratyogi Hyabhavaha. What does it mean? Bhava Pratyogi Hi Abhavaha. I found it now. Bhava Pratyogi. Pratyogi means an opposite. Abhavaha. What is Abhavaha? If you asked, Abhavaha is that which is opposed to existence. We have to be very careful. See, existence is a word. Absence of existence is not non-existence. Non-existence is that which is opposed to existence. Just as knowledge, ignorance is that, ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Please make a note. If you don't understand, I'll explain later on. Absence of, see, ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Ignorance is that which is opposed to knowledge. Similarly, non-existence is not absence of existence. Non-existence is that which is opposed to existence. Abhavaha. Bhavasya pratyogi abhavaha. Bhavasya pratyogi abhavaha means what? Abhavaha. Bhavasya pratyogi is opposed to non-existent existence. Abhavaha is opposed to bhavaha. And having said this, my God, Shankaracharya, important lesson here. Listen to me carefully. To explain how non-existence, a non-existent thing cannot have attributes, for which he uses, he gives an example of existence. Okay, now listen to me carefully. What is existence? Existence is a noun. Existence is a noun, very abstract. The most abstract substance is existence. Most abstract. Most abstract means how? What is most abstract? The most abstract is the subtlest. Subtlest means what? Subtlest means that which is not available for sensory perception. Which is not available for objectification. Which is not available for thought conception. Which is not available for word description. That which cannot be described. That which cannot be conceived, that which cannot be perceived, that which cannot be objectified at all, is the most abstract. And existence is the most abstract. And existence, actually speaking, is the noun. But unfortunately, this noun exists because it is happens to be the abstract. We always understand existence only in terms of forms and names. How do you understand existence? Existence of pot. Existence of light. Existence of a given form and name. Existence of space, existence of time, existence of air, existence of fire, existence of earth, existence of water, existence of living being, existence of non-living thing, existence of man, existence of woman, existence of table, existence of mountain, existence of ocean, existence of ornament, existence of furniture, existence of house, existence of door, window, etc. Here, when you listen to all these words, all these expressions, the words window, door, house, earth, water, space, light, time, they're all different words. Different words denoting different objects, different forms. But in all of them, what is common in all of them? One word, that is existence. Now if you analyze how many existences are there, very question is wrong. Because existence is a noun and which is one, one and the only existence. Only existence, which is formless. The formless attribute, what attribute does the existence have? Tell me. Existence does not have any attribute. Any attribute. No, existence is attributeless. Happens to be the abstract substance, has no attribute. And it is one. But attributeless existence is as though attributed. How? When you say pot existence, now let us see here. Existence of pot is what? Pot existence, chain existence, table existence, wind existence, air existence, water existence, earth existence, star existence, sun existence. In all of them, this attributeless existence is now these qualifications, sun existence, moon existence, etc. All these are attributed to existence now. The qualifications are attributed to the existence. If you analyze, really, if you analyze seriously, there is no pot existence, clay existence, or chain existence, gold existence, house existence, man existence, woman existence. It looks as though all these are adjectives, qualifications attributed to non-existence. The attributeless existence is as though qualified with attributes. It is only for the purpose of transaction. Only for the purpose of transaction. Really speaking, existence has no attributes. How attributeless existence is for the purpose of transaction, as though attributed, or a qualification attributed. Similarly, here also, the non-existence is simply used. It is only imagination, is not that really there's no non-existence. So he says, yathahi, please, I'm going to read now. I've explained to you. Yatha, just as, hyabhinnopi bhavo, ఘటపటాదిభిర్ విశిష్యతే భిన్న ఇవ ఘటభావః పటభావః ఇతి. ఓకే, ఈవెన్ దో ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఈజ్ వన్ ఇండివిజిబుల్ పార్ట్లెస్ హోల్, ఇట్ ఈస్ యాస్ దో డివైడెడ్ because of the qualifications attributed to the existence. How what? He says, abhinnaha api bhavaha. See, bhavaha abhinnaha. I'm going one word. Listen to me carefully. Very important lesson. He indeed abhinnaha. Hyabhinno means what? He abhinnaha hyabhinnaha. He indeed abhinnaha bhavaha. Bhavaha means existence. Bhavaha abhinnaha means, what does it mean? Existence is undivided, indivisible. Existence is like space, isn't it? Existence is one, undivided, indivisible. Abhinnaha, indivisible, undivided. But still, even though it is undivided, indivisible, but now what happens? It is as though divided. How as though divided? As though attributed. He says, Ghata patadibihi visishyate. Ghata patadibihi. Ghataha means pot. Pataha means cloth. When you say pot existence, what happened? Pot existence, existence associated with the former name pot, becomes what? Pot existence. Pot existence, in that expression, pot is what? Qualification, attribute. Existence is noun. So pot existence means pot is the qualification, existence is the noun. Pot existence. Now, chair existence, cloth existence. Like that, when the existence is associated with the forms, name and functions, pot, cloth, etc., then what happens? Visishyate, viseshyate. Viseshyate means qualified. The unqualified, attributeless existence is qualified, becomes qualified with forms and names. Like what? Ghatabhavaha, patabhavaha, iti. Ghatabhavaha, patabhavaha means, ghatabhavaha means pot existence. Patabhavaha means cloth existence. Don't worry, I'll repeat again tomorrow if you don't understand today. Okay? Ghatabhavaha, pot existence. Patabhavaha, cloth existence. And how do you say this now? Existence. Really speaking, because of the association, the existence is associated with the forms and names, the existence is as though qualified, with attributes. Thereby what happens? Ibhinnaha, abhinnaha api, abhinnaha, even though it is undivided. But now how does it look? Bhinnaha iva bhati. It looks as though divided. Is it clear? The example he gives to understand, now more difficult example. He takes his existence itself. So how is his existence? Existence is one. It is abstract, formless, unobjectifiable, imperceptible, indescribable, inconceivable. That existence is. How is it? We always understand existence only with reference to some given form and name. World is, world existence. World enjoys existence. So what about this existence? This existence is actually attributeless. But attributeless existence, undivided one existence, seems to be qualified. How it is qualified? Because of its association with the forms, names and functions such as pot, cloth, etc. It seems to be qualified. And when it is qualified, then what happens? How do you call it? Ghatabhavaha, pot existence. Patabhavaha, cloth existence, etc. Then when it is qualified, what happens? Bhinnaha iva. abhinnaha api bhinnaha iva bhati. Even though it is undivided, it is as though divided. Why? Because it is qualified. Why is it qualified? Because of its association with the former name. As what? Gatabhavaha, patabhavaha, etc. Now if you analyze, really speaking, existence has no attributes. Existence is one, undivided, but still it is as though divided. It looks as though divided. With the qualifications, is it clear? The unqualifiable, non-qualifiable, attributeless, one undivided existence seems to be divided and qualified because of association with forms and names. Similarly, the non-existence which does not exist at all is simply as though used for transaction purpose. Really speaking, absolutely there's no non-existence at all. Is it clear? Good. Evam. Now I'm going to explain. Evam, in this manner, see, this Sambandha Bhasham is very important. Must listen once, listen again, listen again, listen again. The more you listen, clearer it becomes, mind will be sensitized better. Now Shankaracharya says, evam, in the same way, in this manner, evam is indicable word, which means in this manner, nirviseshaha api abhavaha. Look at this. Nirviseshaha api abhavaha. Nirvisesha means what? Attributeless non-existence. Why attributeless non-existence? Doesn't even exist. How can it have attributes? Nirviseshaha api abhavaha. Kriya guna yogat. Kriya guna yogat. Because of its association with action. Because of its association with some. Kriya guna means action. Okay, the quality of acting. Because of its association with the activities. Yogat. Dravyadivat vikalpyate. It is imagined to be an existing thing. Dravyadivat irupadai polu ennapadugirathu. Dravyadivat vikalpyate. It is taken to be, it is imagined to be existent. It is imagined to be existent. What is imagined to be existent? Non-existence, even though it does not exist. Therefore, even it cannot have any qualifications. Nirviseshaha api abhavaha. It is taken to be existent, imagined to be existent because of the association with action, etc. Guna yoga means association. Because of its association with action and quality, etc., it is as though it is existent. It is imagined to be existent. Vikalpyate means it is imagined to be existent. Let's make it in one sentence what Shankaracharya says. In the lines, in page number 53, what he says. Let me put correctly. Non-existence is opposed to existence. Just as undivided, even though undivided indivisible existence, attributeless existence is qualified with attributes. such as pot, cloth, etc., it seems to be divided and qualified as pot existence, cloth existence, etc. Similarly, evam, in the same way, in this manner, nirviseshah api abhavah, the non-existence which cannot have any attributes, also kriya guna yogat, because of it, the connection with action quality, etc., dravyadivat vikalpate, it is imagined to be an existent thing. So what does he say now, Shankaracharya? Therefore, your example is wrong. Now, in page number 55, and he goes on, next he says, first he said, why non-existence is imagined to be qualified. He explained. Now he says, non-existent thing cannot have attributes. Rabbit's horn cannot be described with any attributes. He says, in page number 55, he says, Nahya bhavaha utpaladivat viseshana sahabhavi. Viseshana sahabhavi means that which exists enjoying attributes. Viseshanam means adjectives. Sahabhavi means that which exists along with attributes. Viseshana sahabhavi means object which has attributes. Which can have attributes, which can be viseshana sahabhavi? An existent thing alone can be viseshana sahabhavi. An existent thing alone can have attributes. Like what? Utpaladivat. Utpalam means a lily. An object like lily, utpaladivat. Utpala means an object, something like flower. The lily flower, which is existent, and which can have what? Sahabhavi, which can have viseshanani, which can be viseshana sahabhavi, which can enjoy attributes. Why it is existent? We can say blue lily, red lily, water lily, etc. It can enjoy exist attributes because it's an existent thing. Whereas abhavaha, non-existence, is not an existent thing. Therefore, it is like a rabbit's horn. Therefore, it cannot have any attributes like an existent thing such as lily, etc. Viseshana vatve bhavaha eva syat. If anything which has attributes must enjoy existence. Viseshana vatvam means what? Anything which has attributes must be existent. A non-existent thing cannot have existence, attributes. Is it clear? You made two things. An existing thing alone can have attributes. Anything which has attributes must be existent. A non-existence cannot have attributes. Okay, next. Page number 56. Now homework. Homework has increased now. You have to read until page number 55. Reading homework. Now after my class you must read. Otherwise it will go above your head. Okay. You must be immediately reading. Repeatedly read and read. Understand. If you don't understand what is given there, and you have to come back and ask me. Now I will do some homework for you. Okay. Vidya karma kartuhu nityatvat. Vidya karma kartuhu nityatvat. Vidya karma santana janita mokshasya nityatvamiti chet ganga srotovat. Okay, Purva Pakshi, even though he lost his battle, ஸ்டில் டஸ் நாட் வாண்ட் டு அக்செப்ட். கீழே விழுந்தாலும் மேசையில மண்ணோட்டல. ஈவன் த பர்சன் ஹஸ் ஃபாலன் டவுன் பட் ஸ்டில் டசன்ட் அக்ரி தட் நோ ஸ்டில் மை முஸ்டாஷ் ஹஸ்ன் டச் தி சாயில். யூ சீ ஹி ஹஸ் ஃபாலன் டவுன் பட் ஹி சேஸ் வாட் மை முஸ்டாஷ் ஹஸ் நாட் இட் டச் சாயில். சோ ஹி வாண்ட்ஸ் டு ட்ரை ஒன் மோர். ஹி வாண்ட்ஸ் டு கம் அவுட் வித் லிட்டில் ஸ்லைட்லி சேஞ்ச்ட் ப்ரொபோசிஷன். ஹி வாண்ட்ஸ் டு கம் அகெய்ன். வித்யா கர்ம கர்த்துஹு நித்யத்வாத். வித்யா கர்ம சந்தான ஜனித மோக்ஷஸ்ய நித்யத்வம் இதி சேத். ஹி சேஸ் ஓகே இஃப் சி தி பர்ஃபார்மர் ஆஃப் தி ஓகே ஒன் பர்ஃபார்மர் ஆஃப் த ரிச்சுவல் இஸ் கால்ட் ஹூ இஸ் கர்த்தா. பர்ஃபார்மர் ஆஃப் த ரிச்சுவல் is karta, and his karta is permanent. He of course karta is existent, not non-existent. Karta is existent, and his practice of meditation is also existent. Nitya, existent, he says nitya, eternal, nityam. Vidya, the word vidya in this context means meditation. Be careful, the word in this comment meditation, the meditation is nityam. Also, karma, karma karta, the performer of ritual also is nityaha. Therefore, suppose in the performance of ritual, practice of meditation is continuously non-stop done. Like what? Ganga srotovat. Just as Ganga keeps on flowing, how is the flow of Ganga? Ganga's flow is unobstructed, continuous, constant flow of Ganga. Ganga srotaha, sroto means srotas. Ganga srotas means Ganga srotas, flow of Ganga. This flow of Ganga is unobstructed, continuous, constant flow. Similarly, like just as Ganga's flow is constant, continuous, unobstructed, in the same way, the performance of ritual, practice of meditation, is done continuously, non-stop. Because if meditation also is continuously done, and then karta also continuously there, then what will happen? Then, the result of that continuously, constantly flowing practice of meditation and ritual also will produce constantly flowing punyam. Then there is a moksha, swarga attained also should be there continuously. Only if I stop the karma, punyam will come to an end. So if I don't stop the karma, punyam will be also flowing. Meditation will be continuously practiced. Karma will be continuously done, non-stop. So the moksha, punyam also be flowing continuously. Therefore, moksha, my svayavan also can be there continuously. Shankaracharya puts his hand like this. Why? Because the doership itself, kartrutvam dukkha swarupatvat. The doership itself is what? Doership itself. What is doership? I am the doer. The notion itself is of the nature of suffering and pain. I am the doer. That notion is of the nature of suffering and pain. What does it mean? There is already pain of sense of being small. The sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, sense of limitation, sense of insufficiency, inadequacy, sense of, unhappiness, all centered on I. Therefore, I am the doer also is what? Actually, I am the doer itself is what? this entertaining the notion I am the doer is kartrutva. This entertaining this notion I am the doer, in terms of, which is known as kartrutva itself, is of the nature of suffering and pain. Dukkha swarupatvat. Okay, that is why it's pain. Where is the sokam? Continuously having kartrutvam, how can you call it a mokshaha? Having the kartrutvam itself is what? Dukkham. How can you say kartrutvam, which is of the having the kartrutvam, continuously having the doership, which is of the nature of pain, to be a moksha? It is wrong. Second thing, and kartrutva uparamecha moksha vichedat. If at all you say continuously doing things will have continuous flow of punyam, which will help me have continuous flow of moksha, means once the kartrutvam goes, then moksha also will be come to an end. Because you say, as long as kartrutvam is maintained, as long as karma is performed, as long as continuously, non-stop, if you keep on performing karma, meditation, maintaining kartrutvam, then moksha also will be permanent, which is the result of karma phalam. He says, first of all, kartrutvam itself is of the nature of dukkham. There's no sukham there. There's no moksha there. Second thing, and once kartrutvam is broken, when the doership ceases, then what happened? The moksha also will come to an end for him. How will come to an end? Because he has to stop the karma to enjoy the benefit. To enjoy the punyam of the result, he must stop the karma. He cannot be simultaneously doer and enjoyer. When he becomes enjoyer of punyam, and he not a karta. When the kartrutvam goes, and as he says, and at that moksha, which is maintained by maintaining the kartrutvam, also will go. Therefore, his view itself is wrong. Now he concludes, okay, I don't want to explain to you anything anymore. Okay, you are wrong. Come on, shut up. He says, and how he says, tasmat, therefore, the last 56th page, what you see is a very, 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 very simple view. Take it easy. They're very childish. Go to the 57th, page number 57. Now Shankaracharya finally establishes, tasmat, therefore, vidya avidyadi karma upadana hetu nivruttau. Avidyadi karma upadana hetu nivruttau. Swatmanyavasthanam mokshaha. Iti. Shankaracharya finally establishes the fact. What is mokshaha? Mokshaha is abidance in one's own self. Abidance, swatmani avasthanam mokshaha. I tell you, you must memorize this expression. Swatmani avasthanam mokshaha. Abidance in one's own self is mokshaha. When does it happen? He says, avidya nivruttau. First, avidya adi he puts. Tasmat, therefore, avidya adi. Avidya, etc. Avidya means ignorance. That adi shabda stands for what? Etc. Mudaliyana. Ariyamai mudaliyana ningahayil tan tanaha irtale mukti. So what does it mean? Avidya adi shabda stands for what? Okay, avidya nivruttau. Satisatmi. When the ignorance is resolved, along with the ignorance caused, adhyasa will go. No, mistake will be corrected. Anatma will not be mistaken anymore for Atma. When Atma being Atma is understood, Anatma is not mistaken as the Atma. Therefore, Adhyaropa also will be resolved. Therefore, sense of incompleteness will be resolved. The sense of incompleteness is corrected, resolved. Then, karma upadana hetuhu. Upadana hetu means cause. Cause of karma. What is karma upadana hetuhu? Cause of karma is desire. So, karma upadana hetu nivruttau. When the desires are all resolved for good. When ignorance is resolved, as a result of which ignorance caused, desire also is resolved. All the wrong notions are resolved. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, notions are also resolved. Then one sees one's essential nature being Anandaha. Thereby one gives up Deha Abhimanam. Two things go from him. Mamat, once when a person's identity with the body, mind, sense complex is given up, thereby identity with the world also is given up. So giving up the identity with the world is what? Mamakara Tyaga. And giving up the identity with the body, mind, sense complex is Ahankara Tyaga. So Mamakara goes, Ahankara also goes. When all of them go, then what is there? One abides in one's own self. See, cognitively not having identity with the body, mind, sense complex. Being objective towards the body, mind, sense complex and the world without having identity, seeing oneself being pure consciousness existence is swat. Many avasthanam, abundance in oneself, which is called jivan muktihi. So what is that you want? Ignorance has to be resolved. And then ignorance caused all parampara will be resolved. Karma hetu will be resolved. Desire will be resolved. All wrong notions will be corrected. Then what is there is what? Then naturally, effortlessly, you can be just yourself. Being just yourself is what? Swatmani avasthanam. For you to be yourself, mamakara, ahankara, both should be resolved. Identity with the world, mamakara should be resolved. Identity with the body, mind, complex, ahankara also will be resolved. When it happens, ignorance is resolved, both will go. Avidya, the karma hetu, karma upadana hetu, desire, which is the cause of action, also will resolve. Then you will be just yourself. Just being yourself is swatmani avasthanam, which is called mokshaha, jivan muktihi. Karma is not a means of attainment of moksha. Okay? And Shankaracharya explains what is Swatmani Avasthanam in the next page. Page number 60. Abundance in oneself is explained in page number 60. Swatmani Avasthanam. Now Shankaracharya says, let me do this one and stop it here. Swayancha Atma Brahma. Now, one's own self, one's own essential nature, the all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence of an individual implied by the term Atma is identical with the essence of essential nature of the entire universe implied by the term Brahma. Atma and Brahma are one and the same. Then, tad vijnanat avidya nivrutti, by discovering that reality obtaining as the innermost essence, which is the only reality of the entire universe, which alone is implementum Brahma, by discovering that reality, Vijnanath, and the Paramparali Patri Arivinal, because of the discovery of that Atma, Avidya Nivruttihi, only in the wake of the knowledge of that reality, ignorance will be resolved. Or you can say, there is resolution of ignorance possible only in the wake of the knowledge of that Brahman, the reality of the whole universe, obtaining as the innermost essence of the self, one's own self. Atma. Avidya, tad vijnanat avidya nivrittihi. Resolution of ignorance is possible. There is resolution of ignorance only in the wake of the knowledge of that reality, obtaining as the Atma. Ataha, therefore, now you keep away. I should start my commentary. I should write my bhasham. Don't stop me. Hey, don't write commentary. We don't need jnanam. That's how they come and stop Shankaracharya. As though, Poor Mimamsakas come and stop him, it seems. Don't write the commentary. We don't want jnanam. And now he says what? Ataha now. Brahma vidyartho upanishadarabhyate. Therefore, now it is begun. It is started. What is that? Upanishad is now started. Upanishad is begun. Which means, therefore, Upanishad, what is Upanishad for? Brahma vidyartho. Brahma vidyartho Upanishad. Brahma vidyartha Upanishad. Brahma vidyartha Upanishad arabhyate. Upanishad, which is meant for, which is for the purpose of attainment of knowledge, Upanishad, which serves as a means of attainment of knowledge of Brahman, now is begun. Upanishad, the text which serves as a means of knowledge of the attainment of Brahman, is now begun. Brahma Vidyartha Upanishad. Now Shankaracharya finished his commentary upon the introductory bhashyam known as Sambandha Bhashyam, Upodghata Bhashyam is over. Don't think it is over. It is going to come again at the end of the 10th section of the, before he enters into the second chapter, he'll come again. There you'll have very interesting topics. There you sir. Now finished. Only two small Purvamamsakas. Two babies have been sent out. And the big fighters will come later on. Now. Beautiful meaning comes. In page number 61, Shankaracharya begins unfolding the meaning of the word Upanishad. The introductory bhashyam is over. Introductory bhashyam means still bhashyam itself, introductory bhashyam only, and actually the arguments are over. But now, as part of the introductory bhashyam, he also gives the meaning of the word Upanishad, which starts from page number 61, which we'll see tomorrow. Now, until this page number 60, you have homework to read. And 61 also very simple, 62 also very, very simple. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.